Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I know ladies are already praying. We've been praying, but just stretch a hand towards Sister Anna right now. Hallelujah, in the name of the Lord. Pray, God, you'd reach down, you'd give us strength. God, the power that only comes from you. I pray right now, you said, by your stripes we healed. Hallelujah, by the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. Touch this faithful woman of God. Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. This is my third service today. And preached at 2 o'clock today. And I thought the service was at 2. And showed up and the service was at 1:30. And as I got there at 2, I didn't realize it, but I used the restroom. As I came out, my wife's like, hey, it started at 1:30. So by the time I got to the pew, they called me up. And I was ready. They used me in spite of my tardiness. But I'm of the opinion if you're not there early, you're late. But I was late today. Hallelujah. So hopefully God did a great work. But I have a word, I believe, for you tonight and for myself tonight. And that is Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12. I put 13 for you, sis, but it's actually verse number 12. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12. Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I want to talk to you on that thought. There is a way that seems right. Bishop was talking about getting the Lord involved in our decision making. And many people want to try to find others to appease and justify the decisions that they've already made in their mind. They're looking for people to pat them on their back. But the Bible says there is a way that seems right. Even though your human mind and your carnal thinking, it may sound good and sound right. If God's not in it, there is a way which seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God bless you. May be seated tonight. So the question is this, the question is a very notable question, and that question is, why do we sin? Why do we engage in the forbidden? Why do we do the things that we know we should not do? Mama said, don't touch the stove because it's hot, but we still touched the hot stove. Why do we make those decisions? Why do we choose the wrong path over and over and over again? Why do we truly do the things that we truly despise? Why do we think that we know what's really good for us, even though we know it's not? I believe Paul understood it. Understood all those questions. I believe that's why he penned it in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 20. He says this, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do allow not, for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin dwells in me. The reason why we make bad decisions, the reason why we make bad choices, the reason why we get caught up in bad behavior, it's all because of sin. It's all because of the flesh. It's because of the war that rages within every one of us. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Can I tell you tonight that when our minds are not right, when our flesh is not put under subjection, we can't make good spiritual decisions. We listen to the wrong voices in our lives. We submit to no spiritual counsel. We are in a carnal state of mind, fighting and warring against the ongoing fight of the spirit, because our only concern is this: to please the flesh, to do what feels good, to please and satisfy our own desires, not God's desires, but we seek after what the flesh wants. And we come to the conclusion and we make up our minds because we think that we truly know what's best for us. We have no spiritual authority in our lives. We seek no godly counsel. And the Bible states it: there is a way that seems right, but the end thereof is death. I pray tonight, oh God, give me a young person. Give me a mother. Give me a father that would make up their minds for their families. That we need a pastor in our lives. We need a preacher in our kids' lives. We need a covering. We need the favor of God upon us, and we need God in every area and every aspect of our lives. Because we need to understand that there is an enemy out there that tries to seek to ruin our relationship with God. There is an adversary that wants to take us out. There is an enemy that wants to steal our soul, and I can't do it myself. I need a preacher in my life. I need a pastor to teach me what thus saith the word of God, to preach to me the true and living word of God. Preach to me the truth. Guide me and direct my steps and correct me when I veer down the wrong path. Somebody ought to clap your hands unto the Lord. I thank God for Jeremiah 3:15. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The reason you have a pastor in your life, the reason you have a God-fearing man of God in your life, it is to perfect you. It is to help navigate you through this thing we called life. It's for the work of the ministry. It's for the building up of the body of Christ. He's not out there to spoil your fun or rain on your parade, but he's out there to get you to heaven, to watch for your souls. 65 times in the Old Testament, 13 times in Proverbs, 20% of the time, the whole Proverbs could be summed up in one verse. Proverbs 19:20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Because Proverbs 11:14 says, Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Oh, you ought to thank God for a Bible-believing church. You ought to thank God for a church that has been built on the foundations and the principles and the precepts of the Word of God. You ought to thank God for a bishop that has given his life for over 47 years in Tulare, California. We're not called to be a friend, but we're called to be a seer. We're called to point you in the right direction. It may not feel good. It may rub you wrong sometimes, but we're out to get you to heaven. Somebody ought to clap your hands unto the Lord. Somebody ought to thank God. You've got a preacher. You've got a church. You've got a covering. You've got a place you can run to. Thank God for the church. If only Esau would have sought counsel, he would have never sold his birthright. If only Achan would have sought counsel, he would have never ran after the gold and the silver and the fancy raiment. He would have never hid it in his tent. He would have never brought shame to his family and the children of Israel. But because he coveted them, and because he took them, and because he hid them in his tent, because he sought no counsel, because it seemed right at the moment, it seemed like the right way. But the Bible states in Joshua 7:25 that they took Achan, that they took everything he took. They took all the silver, all the gold, all the raiment. They took his family. They took his children to what the Bible calls is the Valley of Achor. And they stoned him with his family and they burned them with fire. All because there is a way that seems right unto carnal man. All because it looked good to the eye. All because it felt good and pleased the flesh. It was the allurement of sin, but the end thereof brought death. Bishop has alluded to it, that I've counseled with many people, and hopefully I've helped a few. And I know the ones that I've tried to help and that they've sought my help. But I've come to the conclusion that I can only help those that will allow me to help them. I can only pastor people if they allow me to pastor them. I can only speak into their lives if they allow me to speak into their lives. And one of the first questions I asked, Bishop alluded to it, because I've spent countless numbers of hours. I've shed tears. I've tried to fight for them. But one of the biggest things that has helped me is I've said, are you coming asking? Or are you come telling? Because I can waste 3 hours. I could sacrifice family time and possibly your time in somehow of an attempt to try to change your way of thinking. But I've come to the conclusion, I have no power to change a made up mind. I have no power to stop you from going the direction you've set your mind to. As painful as it is, as hurtful as it is, I'm gonna tell you, I don't take it lightly. Even when they tell me, I still shed tears. I still feel guilt. I still feel sadness. But people that say, I'm just telling you, there's not much I can do for you. Because they don't need my help. They don't need my guidance. They don't need my direction. They don't need my covering. I remember, Bishop, it was several years ago, we were in your office and I brought you in and I'm telling you, we need our elder. I'm gonna say that again. I got 3 amens and 3 nods, and I didn't say that for any of that, but we need our elder. We need our bishop. He's got wisdom that is so beyond his even years. I know he's 70 plus, 71, but he's got so much wisdom. And how dare us think that we don't need his voice in our life? But I called him. I said, could you come and help me? And as we began to talk with this family, it was very apparent that she did not need a pastor, because God spoke to her directly. God gave her dreams. God showed her the way, even though it went against the word of God. Can I tell you, if you ever get God talking to you and it goes against the word of God, I've got a 411 for you. It ain't God. If it goes against the law and the orders and the precepts of the word of God, you had some bad pizza. It wasn't God that spoke to you. That's why the Bible said we are to try the spirits and see if they're of God. How do we find the will of God? Number one, we got to pray, but we got to get in the word, and we've got to submit to the men of God in our lives, because there is safety in a multitude of counsel. But where there is no counsel, people perish. Why? Because, Brother McIntosh, there is a way that seems right unto carnal man, but the end thereof is death. I pray a prayer, God. Help me listen to the man of God. Help me listen to the word of God. Help me have an open mind to the spirit, God. Help me try to push down my flesh and push down my kingdom and push down my thought pattern. I need your thought pattern. I need your ways, not my kingdom, but your kingdom, not my desires, but your desires. Point me in the right direction. God, somebody, lift up your voice. Come on, I'm preaching for homes. I'm preaching for families. I'm preaching for marriages. I'm preaching to young people. We've got to put God where he belongs, not just on Sunday, but every day. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, doing the right things. It's not hard. If you live for God hard, it becomes easy. But the moment you just come to play church and sing our three songs and hear a pretty message and spend 5 minutes at the altar, shame on us when we're at the altar looking at our watches. Shame on us when we're praying and we look at a text. We've got to somehow disconnect, Brother Ishmael, from this world, and we've got to connect to heaven. We hear too many voices around us, and we've got to disconnect from those voices, and we've got to say, God, speak to me. Speak to me, God. Speak to my home. Speak to my family. Let me connect with you. Proverbs 5:3 says this, for the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter and wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thy honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest the strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. And say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to hear them that instructed me. Why are you preaching this way, Pastor? Because the word says you've got to run from her. It's an attack from hell. It wants to take you out. And I want you to know tonight that I would fail in my responsibility if I did not sound the alarm. It's not worth it. Listen to Pastor tonight. It's not worth it. No amount of pleasure in this world is worth it. Run from it. Run away from her. Proverbs 23:31, look not thou unto the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color into the cup, when it moves itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stings like an adder. Can I tell you, sin's result is a total opposite of what it was promised. It offered delight, but it brought death. It guaranteed a high, but instead it brought hell. I'm going to tell you that you can't play around with the things of this world. We are living in a dangerous era when it just technology and we're so consumed with the cares of this life that somehow it tries to choke out the relationship you have with God. And you say, well, Pastor, there's nothing wrong with being on this. There's nothing wrong with watching this. There's nothing wrong with listening to this. There's nothing wrong with the way I talk. Oh, really? We've got to be careful. Bible said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Everything you watch could be rated G. But if you spend 7-8 hours a day watching the things that you say are educational, and there's nothing wrong with it, and you spend all your time on that, and you spend no time in this, is there something wrong with that? I'm not preaching against anything, but I'm preaching for something tonight. I'm preaching for the kingdom tonight. I'm preaching for his precepts tonight. I'm preaching for the word tonight. I'm preaching for somebody to fall in love with him all over again. Oh, would you lift up your voice? Would you lift up your voice tonight? Let me hear God from you. Let me hear your precepts. Come on. When was the last time you prayed over your home? When was the last time you plead the blood in your bedroom, in your living room, in your hallway? When was the last time you said, God, I want you to reign in my home? Oh, lift up your voice in this house today. There is a way that seems right. Preacher, preach something about praise. Preach something about worship. I can't do that. We are living in the last days. We've got to get this for ourselves. I want God to be pleased in me. Forgive this preacher. Forgive this pastor for not preaching about hell enough. Growing up, almost every sermon was about hell. We don't preach about it enough. We don't sing about it enough. We don't talk about it enough because we don't want to offend anybody. We want everybody to be comfortable. But I'm going to tell you, there is coming a day. There is coming a day that we're going to stand before Him. And He's going to open up the book of our life. And I don't know about you tonight, but Brother Ramos, I'm striving to keep my name in the Lamb's book of life. I'm striving to have a godly spiritual home. I'm striving to have a godly spiritual church. But we've got to be up. We've got to be awake. And we've got to say, God, help us tonight. Come on, Pastor's sounding the alarm tonight. We've got to change the way we think. We've got to change the way we live. God, help us. Help us, God. I want to please You. I want You to look into my life. I want You to look into my life. I want You to search my heart and search my spirit, God. I want to live for You. I want to please You. Search the cracks and crevices within. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Hallelujah. I end with this tonight. I think I've told this story before, but I felt it fitting to say it again. Brother Mark Foster was the one that told this story. And it was when God builds you a prayer room. There were two boys that got off work one Friday night in Houston, and they were brothers. The youngest was 17 years old. And the older brother said, "Little brother, I'm homesick to hear the pastor preach." He said, "I'm so homesick to get back to Louisiana and hear the saints worship. I'm going to go home this weekend. Won't you go with me?" And the little brother laughed and said, "Go ahead and go." He said, "I've got my check. Just got payday. Got some money in my pocket. It's going to be a wild weekend for me. I'll go to church, but not this weekend." He said, "This weekend is going to be a weekend of wine, women, and song." He says, "I'm going to have a party." And so the older brother headed for Louisiana, and the younger brother got on the freeway and began to thumb a ride. He was picked up by a man by the name of Elmer Wayne Henley. And he asked, "Where are you going, boy?" He replied, "I'm going to have a wild weekend." He said, "It's going to be women, it's going to be wine, and it's going to be song." And Elmer Wayne Henley pulled a revolver out and said, "Oh, no, you're not. You're not going to have a wild weekend with what you think, but it's going to be a weekend with me. And you ain't going to be lived. You won't live to tell about it." With that, he took out some handcuffs and he told the boy to put his hand out. He cuffed him to something there in the car and drove him to the house there on the outskirts of Houston. And what I'm telling you was later court documented that this was the last boy out of many that Elmer Wayne Henley had abducted. He said in the courtroom, said there was something different about that last boy. Said we took him in the house and we stripped him. We laid him on the floor and we handcuffed his hands and his feet to the floor. He said, we began to mutilate that boy as we had done to so many others. He said, we would torture and mutilate them until they were just about to go out of their mind. Then we would take out a .38 revolver. He said, I'd kill him. He said, something this time was different. He said, the boy screamed and cried and begged. And just when it seemed like he was about to lose his mind, he said, I took the revolver and I placed it to his temple. He said, about that time, the boy began to pray. And he began to call on Jesus. He said, there was an eerie presence that entered the room. He said, I tried to pull the trigger, but I couldn't. He said, I was afraid, so I backed off. And the boy screamed, cried, and prayed to God. He said, in just a few minutes, the boy began to speak in a foreign language that I had never heard before. Jesus. Said he spoke that language for a while. Then the presence seemed to leave. It was then I was able to pull the trigger. A 17 year old Pentecostal preacher's boy raised in the church. He knew what it was to sit in services like this. He knew what it was to feel the presence of God. But he took God to his last resort. I'm preaching to somebody tonight. Hell does not have your answer. The world does not have what you're seeking for. Only God does. Only God has the answer. Numbers 23:10 says, let me die the death of the righteous, and may my end be like theirs. Everyone wants to die the death of the righteous, but to do that, you have to live the life of the righteous. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Don't let tragedy have to bring you back to hear the voice of the Lord. Listen to God's word tonight. Listen to God's word tonight. Listen to the voice of God tonight before tragedy strikes, before devastation has to hit. Oh, we need to turn this place into an old-fashioned prayer meeting that says, God, I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of going through the motions. Change me tonight. Let me get it for myself tonight. I don't want to do it for my parents. I don't want to do it for Pastor, but God, I want to do it for me. Oh, is there anybody tonight? Anybody hear the call? Anybody hear the knock at your heart's door? Oh, lift up your voice with me.
Here.
Oh. Help us, God, tonight. Search my heart, God,
to you.
Know my your will.
Here I am.
Come on.
Lord. Here I am. Let your spirit move through me. Here I am. Here I am.
Spend some time.
Lord.
Spend some time with him.
Here I am.
Oh.
I give all myself to you.
Oh God.
Here I am.
Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God.
Here I am.
Cleanse me.
Lord.
Purify me, God.
Here I am. Let your spirit move. Here I am.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God. Oh God. Oh. Sharayarako. Sharayanda yasi. Yes, Kaya raso. Oh God. Oh God. Break the chain of God. Lead your blood on her, God. Oh God. Sharayanda yako rayanda yasi. Yaraya rako. Shorayanda yasi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. 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 Shout out to God. Oh,
Spirit move through me. Here I am.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to be better. And I pray that's your prayer. But I can't get you right. I can only get me right. I think that's why the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And nobody can make you do this. I preached this afternoon that God's a gentleman. Won't kick down your door, won't come in uninvited. If you don't want him, but if you want him, if any man hears my voice and opens up, I'm going to come in. And I'm going to sup with you. And then you're going to sup with me. And we're going to say, what's up? Thought Brother Miller would like that. He didn't laugh as loud as I thought he would, but just came to me. Sup. So, but I'm telling you, the best thing you could ever do is make up your mind. I'm gonna live for God. Don't let anybody derail you from Him. Your friends, your family, your coworkers, cut them off if you have to. Brother Mac says, I'd rather enter heaven missing an eye, missing an arm, and missing a foot, then to go to the other spot with everything attached. But I'm not living for God because of fear of hell. I'm living for God because I love Him. And I want to go to heaven. Isn't there an old song that says, don't you want to go to that land? Don't worry, I won't sing anymore, but it'll get to you. Amen. I love every one of you, and I believe that we're going to make it together. Put God first. Amen. And me and Bishop, we're never, and the ministerial staff, we're never too busy. If you need somebody to talk to, pray with, whatever, call us up. Don't call the Terminator. Call us up. Amen. But I love every one of you. Stay here as long as you like. But this week, Monday, we've got work night. If you can, pray in homes. Tuesday, we'll be here. Ladies will be here praying, fasting. I'm going to be fasting Tuesday, maybe Monday, Tuesday. I don't know how long. But and then Wednesday, we'll be here. It's a work night. But it's not a work night to miss church. It's a work night just to clean it up. We got a lot of stuff to do. And I'll make a big checklist to make sure everybody's got something to do. Amen. But we want to make sure that we beautify this church. God, we love you. Thank you for your word. God, we want to please you. We want to please you, God. Help us to become better. Help us to put you first. Help us, oh God, I pray, in this crazy thing we're in called life. Help us to navigate life and help to bring somebody alongside us to give what you've given to us. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 Stay here as long as you like. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.